Okay. Who do we have?
We have Rebecca Frey, the supervisor of the dispatch at the police department, here today for our Inside the City this week. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Cold.
Cold?
It was chilly this morning.
Oh, it was. It's not even
37 degrees. Yeah. 28 degrees. Chilly. So you're here to talk about 911 in the city.
Yeah.
What?
So where do you guys want to start?
How long have you been associated with this dispatch center here?
I started with the Palmer Dispatch Center in June of 2003.
Okay. And that's 12 years, a long time.
Yeah.
Have you seen changes in that system, I mean, in that 12-year period?
I've seen quite a few changes in the 911 system and in our center as well.
Right.
We upgraded our system in 2007. To a CAD system, which is computer-aided dispatch.
Right.
And we've been running with that since.
Now, I know that many people are aware that there is a dispatch system in 911, but one of the reasons why you're here is to help us understand the rest of the story. So 911 covers the entire country.
It does.
What do we cover?
So the City of Palmer's Dispatch Center has a contract with the Matsu Borough.
Okay.
That contract means that we are the primary, and I'm going to use the term PSAP, and that's Public Safety Answering Point.
Okay.
So we are the primary PSAP for the Matsu Borough. That means that if you call 911 from within the borough, you will be routed to our dispatch center.
Oh, anywhere in the borough?
Anywhere in the borough.
So, wow.
The size of the borough is roughly 25,000 square miles.
Yeah.
I think so if you want to put that in visual terms in a map, it's about the size of West Virginia.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you do 911 for the equivalent of the state of West Virginia.
Correct. In that 25,000 square miles, we have approximately 625 square miles of that as fire service area.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
That means a fire service area is people who receive fire services. So if you have a fire station will respond to your house.
And they're broken up into areas where they're, although there's a cooperative activity, there's a primary fire response in a particular area.
Correct. So you'll have a station, and then you'll have outlying stations from that main station to help cover the area.
Okay.
Nice. The borough employs approximately 500 volunteer employees that were responsible for listening to on the radio.
Okay.
Taking the radio traffic, dispatching them out to scenes, and providing them updated information.
500 volunteer firefighters?
Correct.
Wow.
So how many, just to fill out that picture, how many of law enforcement respondents would you be talking with? Or
just the Palmer Police Department.
Just the Palmer Police Department.
Yes. So our dispatch center is responsible for the borough for fire, rescue, and EMS, and then for the City of Palmer Police Department.
Got it. Okay.
So we're responsible for our officers.
Right. So if you get a police call from somewhere else in the borough, you either route it to the City of Wasilla or the Troopers?
Well, the City of Wasilla and the Troopers have a same dispatch center. It's our sister center.
Okay.
And they go by MATCOM. That's the name of their center.
Okay.
So if you call 911 from inside the borough and it's not fire, EMS, rescue, or Palmer Police related, we'll transfer you to that center.
Okay.
And they will send
help
for you.
They'll do the dispatch.
Yeah.
Do all the rest of that. Okay.
Correct.
So I know that although we can look at a map and see where the City of Palmer ends and the borough begins. It's harder for someone who's driving along. If someone is on the highway somewhere about on the border, either just on the other side or this side, they dial 911 because there's been an accident, say, on the highway.
Okay.
And it's just outside the city. What kind of response or cooperative agreement is there for the Palmer Police or the Troopers to respond?
So if you're on the Glen and you're just on the other side of the fairgrounds, say that you have a motor vehicle accident, we're going to send the Palmer Ambulance.
Right.
We're going to send the Palmer Fire Department for rescue purposes. And then we'll notify our Palmer Police officers.
Okay.
They can respond to help.
Right.
Traffic control and other things. But the responsibility of the report would then be that of the Alaska State Troopers.
Gotcha. Okay.
So you do the essential part, which is make sure there are the services to help support the people.
Correct.
Is taken care of.
And that's part of why we ask what we ask when you dial 911. And the first thing we'll ask you is, what's the location of the emergency?
Right.
So when we ask you that, this helps us determine which service area you're in for fire, ambulance, rescue, mm-hmm. and jurisdiction you're in for police.
So what kind of questions do you ask? So you ask the location? You've got a list there.
I do. So the first question we ask, 911, what's the location of your emergency? This is going to help us determine where you are and where we need to send help to. The second question we're going to ask is, what is the phone number that you're calling from? In the event that we get disconnected, for whatever reason, we need to be able to call you back.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The next question is, what is the emergency? Okay, tell me exactly what happened. And this helps us determine what kind of services that you need.
Okay.
If it is fire, ambulance, rescue, or Palmer Police related, we'll continue to take the call and ask a series of questions to gather information from there, depending on the type of call. If it's not, and you have to be routed over to MATCOM, they're going to ask you the same series of questions. And that also is in the event for them to determine where you are, whether it's Wasilla PD or Alaska State Troopers that need to respond, and what type of services that you need. Mm-hmm. So just like to get that out there so people are patient, because sometimes they feel like, I just said this, and they're repeating information, and they get frustrated.
Yeah, I can understand that. So this happened to me at work. I misdialed 911 by accident.
Okay.
And I work at the university in Anchorage, and the police dispatch called me back, and I'm like, oh, it was an accident. That happens, doesn't it? If someone calls you, you're going to call them back?
It does. We call back every 911 call that comes into our center.
Mm-hmm.
If it is a hard line, like for you, for instance, you called from your desk, we're going to know where you're at,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to send the police to check on you. Cell phones are a little bit harder.
Mm-hmm.
We do get a lot of pocket dials, and we're unable to tell an exact location, so we will not send on those calls unless we can determine there is an emergency.
Well, that's an interesting question. I know that in the past there have been, particularly in Anchorage and Eagle River, it was a notorious case of difficulty locating an address, in part because the reference maps were not clear enough, and it was difficult to come up with a location. As time has progressed and you have new computer-aided systems, and with the proliferation of cell phones, we very often have GPS type of things, has that facilitated the combination of both the map and phones, cell phones of that sort? Has that helped pin down where a call is coming from?
We are currently phase 2 wireless.
Okay.
What that means is we can get the GPS coordinates from your phone,
right,
and triangulate it with the tower of which you're calling from. So we can get a close proximity, but not an exact location.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. Well, the next piece of this is you're the supervisor. How many people are working there, and what kind of training do they have?
We currently have 11 full-time dispatchers, 12 if you count myself.
Mm-hmm.
Each dispatcher goes through emergency medical dispatch training,
mm-hmm.
and receives certification, in which they have to keep up that certification with 24 continuing credit hours. So they get constant training via DVD, or we have a couple dispatchers going to a national conference the end of the month, which
okay.
is very exciting. They get to go to Vegas.
Oh.
So, and then we do an on-the-job training program
right.
as well.
Didn't you just have a dispatcher get an award for, or a special recognition for helping? I forget what it was. I saw in this manager's link.
I don't know the exact dates. I just became the supervisor in February. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, though, we did have 5 berths over the phone.
Wow.
So we were recognized as a birthing center per se. Okay. Lots of healthy babies out there.
So how does that work, the birth over the phone?
It is a series of directions that you give, and it's through the emergency medical dispatch program. It's called Paramount. Mm-hmm. And it gives you step-by-step instructions on how to help deliver a baby over the phone.
Right, and that's because the people are not able to get to medical facilities on time.
Correct. If the baby's head is crowning or...
they waited too long or something happened or it was more quick than they expected.
Correct.
So that must be quite rewarding feeling.
It is. It is for those girls. And they get a stork pin. So it's a little stork and it either has a blue or pink. So depending on the gender of the baby they deliver, they get to wear a little pin on their uniform.
So what's one memorable call that you took? Just one.
Let's see if I can find one appropriate for radio.
Oh, right. My goodness.
Most memorable, probably the cutest call. I had a 5-year-old boy call because his mom was in an apartment next door, and he was sure she was being turned into a robot, and he could not get into the apartment. From a 5-year-old's perspective, he was very frantic. I asked him if there was someone else there with him. He says, "Yes, my brother." I said, "Okay, well, can I talk to your brother?" He says, "Sure." I said, "Well, how old is your brother?" He says, 3. Okay, well, I don't want to talk to your brother. I need to keep you on the phone. Turns out that his mom was at the next door neighbor's, and their apartment was dark, and he could see through the window, but all he could see was the lights from the TV.
Oh.
So he could see the lights going, but he couldn't get in.
Used
so
his imagination
was,
to create
He was it. Sure that she was going to be a robot when she answered the door.
And that did resolve positively.
It did resolve positively, yeah.
Did they have to send someone out? Or did?
I believe the Alaska State Troopers responded to that one, yes.
Oh.
Okay. So you mentioned the number of people that work in dispatch. Are there any male dispatchers? Or?
We do have one token male dispatcher.
Oh, okay.
And he's a really good sport. We really enjoy him.
I would imagine.
He puts up with all of us very well.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So looking back, there was a time when the dispatch system was what it was, and you've improved and changed and added technology and the rest of it. Where do you see this whole business going into the future? I would believe that nationally there, you know, there's discussions, you talk about conferences and so on, about the next way to improve the system to make it all work well. And as you look at what you're doing, I'm guessing you also do incident reviews and so on to see just how you, whether it's a protocol or some technology. Talk a little bit about that. What's the plan for the future? You're not going to be doing the same thing you're doing every day now. It's going to change somehow.
It does change. As technology progresses, we introduce new protocols and new systems and new ways to handle it. We foresee being able to text 911 in the future.
Uh-huh.
People using their cell phones a lot. I know when I came in, you were doing a piece on smartphones. They can come in handy. You know, people see things, they take pictures, and being able to deliver that information.
Mm-hmm.
I see it progressing technology-wise.
Okay.
How far? I'm not real sure.
So along with that, you sort of mentioned this by talking about accidental calls that are made to 911. What's the situation if someone abuses the 911 system? And I would think that would range anywhere from repetitive calls from a single source to something else. How are those handled? What are the rules, the laws, et cetera, around that?
I know that recently we had an individual who dialed into 911 26 times in a short period of time. Uh-huh. I believe that person was charged with harassing communications.
Okay.
So there are some laws that cover us and the misuse of 911.
Okay. Now, I have been in the past, back in the day, on the other end of this, being out there with driving an ambulance while being dispatched, and I have valued that connection. And, of course, the question about the connection is... how good is the radio? You know, in the old days, the Palmer Ambulance Service responded at considerable distance. I mean, I've gone up, I remember going up to Hatcher Pass, I've gone up, you know, the Glen quite a ways. What kind of radio communication do you have at the present time? Is it pretty good with those people that are being dispatched?
I think we have fairly decent radio coverage. We have several repeaters throughout the borough that help us with that. We can switch channels. We can patch channels. Sometimes when we get in the outlying areas, north of Sutton can get a little scratchy.
Right.
Some areas up in Willow. Just depends a lot on the terrain and okay. also the weather, how the radios are hitting those repeaters.
Okay. How often are people recruited? What kind of turnover do you have among dispatchers?
I haven't put our turnover rate down on paper, so I'm not really sure. In May, we'll have a position open. We do have one dispatcher retiring after 30 years of service.
Whoa.
Yeah, good for her. She made it. That's super awesome.
30 years. So the changes she's seen.
Yes, she started with the Anchorage Police Department and is finishing out her 30 years with us here at Palmer. We also have one of our dispatchers on maternity leave, and so we're going to be down to 9 full-time dispatchers by May.
Okay.
And, so we'll have a position come open in May.
And that'll be advertised?
On the city website.
Okay.
What kind of... experience is required for that position? Is it like you can come in and get trained, or do you want to have someone who's already got dispatch experience, or what's the, do you know yet?
It's a radio dispatcher one position, so there is no previous dispatching experience required.
Okay.
So if it's something that someone's interested in and thinks that they would do good at, then we'll put mm-hmm. them through the testing process. And
so you have a testing process?
We do.
Oh.
We do.
Yeah.
We have a program called Critical.
Okay.
Sorry. We have a program called Critical that helps us determine keystrokes, how fast you are, judgment, prioritization, and the Nelson-Denny written exam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So reading, the comprehension exam.
Okay.
So what kind of qualities make a person a good dispatcher?
I like to say that you have to be a type A personality.
Uh-huh. Really?
Really be able to take charge and be an independent thinker. A lot of people try to say that you need to be a multitasker. The way I like to put that is you need to be able to prioritize in rapid succession.
Okay, right. Understand.
So that's part of a type A. Got to do this, got to do this, got to do this.
Yeah.
Okay, that's very, very interesting.
How much does... I guess empathy or personal caring or communication come into it, or do those play a little bit of a part?
They play a huge part. Being able to empathize with your callers and provide good customer service to them, and being able to realize that this is their emergency.
Mm-hmm.
People don't call us on their best of days. They don't call us with great news. They're calling us when they need help and they can't figure it out on their own. And being able to empathize with them and understand and get them the help they need and do it in a calm and caring way, that's a big role.
Mm-hmm. So you have to have some multiple skills, that type A prioritization kind of stuff, but also realizing the human connection.
Correct.
Yeah.
So in a single shift, is there any average number of calls that it's likely a dispatcher would handle?
I haven't broken our call volume down per shift to be able to give you some numbers, but in 2014, we took 26,909 911 calls to our center.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow. I just want to pause a minute, Mike. We're here on Inside the City, right. Mike Maleski and Lee Henriksen, with Rebecca Frey, supervisor of the Palmer Police Department's Dispatch Center.
So. Right, and we're just in awe of a group that is able to handle 26,000 calls of all sorts with no two, I'm guessing, ever being quite the same.
No. No two calls are never the same. We do get a lot of 911 disconnects or 911 pocket dials.
Right.
And so just to plug a little piece of education in there for our listeners, if your cell phone has battery power, regardless of whether or not it is hooked up to a service, it will still dial 911. So a lot of people get new phones. They don't need theirs anymore. They say, here, and hand it to their child as a toy.
Right.
You know, because every little kid likes to have a play phone. It'll still dial 911 if it has battery power. If it's able to power up, it will dial in.
Well, that was one of the things we talked a little bit about in anticipation of your arrival. The ease with which new smartphones allow you to dial 911. Mm-hmm. So you don't even necessarily have to unlock the phone. You just go, if it's that.
Right, yeah. I'm just looking at my phone right now, and there's a little emergency button on the bottom that I'm not going to press because I don't know what it's going to do.
It's going to call 911.
Yeah, just right away. I just press emergency, and I don't have to do anything else.
Correct.
Right.
So it's a great service. That, you know, that connection that phone provides, that you can just press wherever it is on your screen. On my phone, it's the bottom left corner. But if you accidentally dial, the best thing to do is
stay on the line.
Stay on the line, or if you disconnect, call back and say it was an accident.
Correct.
So that's the educational piece today.
That's a very important one.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Seriously, so that you'll have come to conclusion at your end. Someone can look and say, oh, that was a mistake, but you don't know that at the dispatch center.
Right. And then we'll call them back. Mm-hmm. So the best thing to do if you accidentally dial is stay on the line and let us know that it was an accident.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right.
If you're traveling, try putting your phone up on the dash or in a compartment where it's not going to get bumped in your pocket or your purse, and that button will accidentally get pressed and dial.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious, one last sense of the calling. Are there times in the year when you get more calls than others?
Summertime is always very busy for us.
Okay.
Specifically the Alaska State Fair with the influx in our population in the area for those 10 days.
Oh, yeah. That would be that would make sense. Yeah.
Right. I'm just thinking of those 911 hang-up calls because my brother in Ohio had an incident where he was working and he passed out on the job. And before he passed out, he dialed 911. And he woke up in the hospital a day later. But because he had that phone and he knew something was wrong and he was able to dial.
That's awesome.
He lived.
Yay.
Yeah.
So
great. Yeah. You're part of a wonderful system.
Yeah. Well,
thank you.
Yeah. I can see the enthusiasm you have for your job.
Once you become a dispatcher, it's in your blood.
Uh-huh. So it's very, you feel it's very rewarding work.
It is. And it can be. It can be. You're the voice behind the radio. You're a lifeline to so many people, officers and responders and the public.
Right.
And it's an important job. It's not a very recognized job sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But it is it's personally rewarding.
Sure. Essential. Any last comments you'd like to say? Because we've been here for almost 25 minutes. It's hard to believe.
How did
you
really
want to
sum
this up? Yeah.
Did we miss anything from your list?
No, I don't think that we missed anything. I just want to say if you're ever in doubt whether or not it's a real reason to call 911, call.
Okay. When in doubt, call.
When in doubt,
when call. When in doubt, call. We do get a lot of 911 calls that says, it's not an emergency, but, and they continue. So, and sometimes they are emergencies. So mm-hmm. that's our job. Our job is to help you determine. So if you are ever in doubt whether or not it's worthy of a 911 call, please call 911. And if you want to pre-program your smartphone with the non-emergency numbers, then the non-emergency number for the Palmer Police Department is 907-745-4811. And the non-emergency number for the Alaska State Troopers and Wasilla PD is 907-352-5401. So those numbers are very important, and they'll get you to the right people. But again, if you're ever in doubt, dial 911.
911.
Okay. Thank you. Rebecca Frey, Supervisor of Dispatch at the Palmer Police Department, for sharing some of the behind-the-scenes look at 911 here in Palmer.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Rebecca.